And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grillin' Guys. Grillin' Guys Talk Network, Jethro FM, all over mid-Michigan now. I think there's six or seven of those signals out there that are bringing Jethro to your backyard. And, of course, around in Lansing and up in Big Rapids, BRN, and all over this wonderful state that is so beautiful right now with all these fall colors. But brings to mind hunting this time of year. And our state, we're so blessed with the bounty of wild game and different species that we can all hunt if you're a hunter like Bob and I are. And Thursday, the 20th, was the season opener of the pheasant season and for Michigan in Zone 2. The state's divided up in zone 1, 2, 3. Anyway, our zone here opened up on the 20th of October. And if you do any of this, you know that the birds aren't that plentiful. There's pockets of them everywhere. Was talking to one of my buddies who's got a new dog, and he spent a lot of time and energy getting the dog trained so that it could hunt these 15 days, I guess it is, or something, that are pheasant season. And he went over to a place in Bath, Michigan, where our DNR is actually trying to, promote pheasant hunting, because they're putting out birds every week into the field in an open hunting area to make sure that the hunters have game to hunt, which I thought was back in the 80s, in the early 90s, there was a program called Put and Take.
Yeah.
Right, and we used to participate in that because it's been that long since pheasants have been plentiful here. But it's all about habitat is what it is, because my buddies in Shartucky, you know, like 3-4 weeks ago, I went down to that bow camp. Well, they have they're blessed with a ton of land down there, and they manage a 1 square mile for pheasant down there, which what manages means is they put crops around a giant grass field. So that they've got, and then they leave them like several rows of the crops up around the grass, and the birds live in the grass and then can forage in the beans and the corn that are around it. And they shot 9 off of but that's a square mile. It's a big chunk of ground, right? But there were 4 guys down there.
They're in their 80s. So
right,
that's
yeah,
really
right,
cool.
Yeah, right, yeah, right, yeah.
But anyway. They're all grandpas.
Yeah, so it was cool just to watch them do that. But so you go out, you get a pheasant, then you've got, what do you want to do with it? And wild game is a challenge to cook. Why? Because with the pheasant, generally you're not leaving the skin on the bird. You're not going to take time to pluck it. When you buy a chicken in the store, it's got skin on it. It's been commercially processed, and that system leaves the skin on. You very rarely do that when you get a game bird. You can, certainly, but it's a lot of work to pluck all those feathers. And so what happens is you've got a skinless bird that is lean anyway. The wild game is very lean. So oftentimes what we do is we brine those, right? And the brining drives moisture and your seasonings if you use some aromatics in a brine. What kind of a brine would you use on a wild bird, Bob?
Yeah, just like anything, salt and sugar.
Right.
Yep. I'd probably, depending on the bird, since we're doing pheasant, I'm probably going to go with something like thyme, but right. I'm a thyme freak. Yep. And maybe a little, usually like some garlic and possibly some onion powder, depending on how gamey it is. But pheasant, right, are typically not very gamey. I mean, they're just a really clean meat.
Right.
They're very lean.
Yep, and it's dark-colored. That doesn't mean it's all dark meat, but it is dark-colored meat. And generally, another thing that so what do you want to do with it? Usually it's roasted in the oven or on the smoker. Because we're the grilling guys, I like smoking them. And because they tend to dry out after you've brined them even, I'll take thin-sliced bacon and wrap it around the bird, kind of pull the bird together and wrap the bacon around it and really cover it, and then just set it in my smoker. And you, like all poultry or all bird, you want to get this up to about 165 internal temperature.
Okay, now let's take a time out here.
Yep.
All right. It's my understanding that when they're wild game poultry, you don't necessarily have to go that high.
Well, I don't know the rule on that.
Well, I don't know if it's a rule or history or, you know, culinary expertise, but for example, I know you used to do goose jerky.
Yeah.
What temperature did you bring that to? 135.
Yeah.
And didn't kill you.
No.
So it's the commercial poultry that you have to actually be careful. And actually, I know people that even buy Amish poultry, and they will they'll cook those to a much lower temperature. So I don't know. I'm sure the USDA has an opinion on it, like the government has an opinion on everything. Doesn't mean it's right. It's just what, you know, if you're serving it in a restaurant, what you have to do.
Right.
But I just think that pheasant, you might be able to temper just a little bit. And I'm personally thinking 150 is a pretty good temp on a wild game.
Yeah. And the way I always judged it on that recipe that I was doing with it wrapped in bacon is that when the bacon is done,
right,
then the bird is probably done. But, you know, use a thermometer.
Yeah.
Because you definitely don't want it at 125 or 130, right, like you would a piece of beef. So, but that on that smoker, I'm running the smoker 200 to 225. I don't want to sear this thing. I want to slow cook it. And because it's so lean, let that bacon just kind of keep the moisture on the outside. You can eat the bacon if you want. But for me, the purpose of the bacon is to wrap it in something that's going to continue to provide moisture.
And you're going to have a little bit of a cavity in that thing.
Yeah.
Can you maybe put some veggies in there for humidity or for hydration?
Yeah, an onion would be in there.
I'm thinking celery would be nice.
Because
fennel?
Yeah, anything that's an aromatic like fennel would be, mm-hmm. or rosemary, you know, thyme, whatever it mm-hmm. is that you want in there. But it's an acquired taste a little bit because it isn't gamey, but it's just so delicate that you have to be careful not to overcook it.
Right. And it's so lean, I think, too, is a key there.
Yeah.
We did this recipe, oh, my goodness. The first time we did it was 10 years ago. And a year or two later, I was over in Wisconsin, back when I was in the hot tub factory world, and I was signing up a dealer over there. And his partner slash financer came in, and he wanted to meet me because he podcasts our show.
Oh, yeah.
He owns a factory over there. And he was so excited that I was coming over that he brought a couple of his pheasant in that he used this recipe on. After we got our deal signed, he went out and got his cooler, and he breaks out these two beautiful bacon-wrapped birds. I think he had five of them.
Well, yeah, they're on a big bird,
but
right?
He sat there and cut three of them up, and we ate right in that office. And I'm telling you, that was a fantastic recipe. I highly urge you to.
Yeah, and the full recipe's on thegrillingguys.com.
That's right.
You can find it there.
It's called Brined, Wrapped, and Smoked.
Yep. And it's really good. It works out good if you follow it. Takes a little fussing around, but if you hunt pheasants, you know how precious they are. You don't get out and like you wouldn't Dakotas and find them.
So when you clean that animal out, do you ever spatchcock it so you can get that backbone out of it?
You know, we don't. It's small. I mean, they're a small bird, but anyway,
not like a dove.
Right. All right. Coming up next. Don't duck out on us. We might do some duck recipe. Stick with us. We'll be back.